Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about immersion. Just a topic I feel like God's been bringing to mind lately is this topic of immersion. In my book, The Miracle Year, in my book, The Pockets of Prosperity, we got a couple different times where we talk about immersions. We talk about the importance of immersing ourselves in the things of God, to let go of our old ways, to immerse ourselves in this new way of doing things, of walking with God. But we also talk about, on any journey, any skill you want to master, anything you want to truly grow in, I believe there's some stages that you go through. There's the initial stage where you're just kind of checking things out. You're kind of feeling things out, getting a feel for if it's something you really want to grow in. But then eventually, I believe there's this time where you have to move over into full immersion. And I had this time just in my own walk with God, where it's probably about a year to 2 years after I had been just started getting going with him, where I just totally immersed myself in his word, just read the Bible several times over, listening to sermons all day, reading other books, just totally immersed myself in that world. And I believe it's a step that God has us take along his path. So we're going to be taking communion today, asking for wisdom and insight and understanding into this concept of immersion. I believe it's just a great accelerator of growth when we totally immerse ourselves in something, to totally immerse ourselves in God's ways of doing things, into his kingdom, is, I believe, the ultimate expression of this. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I had pretty much no spiritual life whatsoever. I was just doing life on my own without God, but unfortunately, it wasn't going the way I wanted it to go. Was stressed out all the time. I had all the weight and pressure of life just sitting on me. At the time, I was running my personal training gym business, and the business started out good. But then I got to this place where I'm having staff turnover constantly. I got my business is very up and down. I've got some months where I'm losing thousands of dollars in a month. And I remember going for a walk with my wife around the neighborhood, just telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way to live. There's got to be more to life than this. Shortly after that, it wasn't for a lack of seeking. I had totally immersed myself in the world of health and fitness. I had started traveling all over the country. I got started. I was learning and studying and growing. And I just got to this place where I totally immersed myself in that world. Started traveling all over the country, studying with the best health and fitness experts around the country that I could find. Reading books, taking courses, trying to understand business and finance and health and fitness. But I wasn't finding what I was looking for. Then shortly after that, I came across this challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. Proverbs has 31 chapters. So on day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. Day two, you read Proverbs chapter two, and you keep going like that until the end of the month. And then you start back over again. And I've been doing this for a while. And quickly, I began to see that my way of doing things and God's way of doing things were definitely not in alignment with each other. And after a while of doing this, reading these Proverbs every morning, one morning, Proverbs 13:22 just seemed to jump off the page at me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we could pass on to future generations? After some time of thinking about it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing that we could pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live. And so I made a commitment that day. I'm going to create manuals, lessons, systems, teaching, and training for all the different areas of life, areas like purpose and health and family, finances, order, time, and community. But really, when I got started, I had no clue where to start. My own life needed some help at the time. So I began to seek God, began to press into him, began to immerse myself into God's presence, just reading, studying, spending time with him, praying. He began to just show up and teach me and train me. My relationship with him just began to grow exponentially. And really, I just began to document what he was taking me through. And over the course of about 10 years now, it's turned into this whole program that we call the Abundant Life Blueprint, with books and courses and partners. But out of everything that we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, I believe the most important thing is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. Has the ability to just turn the tables, to turn things around when they're going in the wrong direction, and to change the trajectory of our lives going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir his sacrifice into our mind and remembrance helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And personally speaking, I found it's this opportunity. We can take these promises that God has made. We can activate them in our life and serve as a marker in time to say, you know what? When I took communion over that promise, I believed I received it at that moment, that I'm going to experience God's help walking in that from this point on. And I've just seen some amazing things through taking communion. You can take communion over this promise. And you'll begin to just immediately almost see God to fulfill on these promises in our lives. He just begins to unfold them over time from that point on. But it's also important we take communion the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and honor and reverence for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember all that Jesus went through. That God loved us so much, he's willing to send his one and only son. Jesus is willing to come and humble himself on a cross, even unto death on a cross. We remember all that he went through in the lead up to the cross and on the cross. But then we remember on the other side that he's raised back to life, and that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He connects us back to God and makes us right and holy and perfect in his sight. We can have this personal relationship with God, this covenant relationship with him. And I think it's important we remember both sides of that. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. Because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive if we take it the right way, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical health and fitness tips. Because I truly believe the principles of physical exercise, of health and fitness, are meant to teach us how to exercise our faith, to receive this grace by faith, and to experience God doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to do that, we can take those same principles and apply them into the other areas of our life. So let's get started with our prayer, and then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us, so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is a time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? How are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to the Master. Our relationship with God, we're going to have this eternal perspective with Him. But our relationship with Him has got to be brought down into today to impact all the things that we do today. And remember, masters of anything are simply masters of the fundamentals. That's where we talk about executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into them today. But before we get started with our fundamentals, let's remember, God has a process. When God brought the people out of Egypt and took them to the promised land, He didn't just take them straight there. There was a process that they had to go through of learning to put off their old ways and to immerse themselves into God's way of doing things. First, they get released out of slavery and bondage and darkness in Egypt. They cross the Red Sea, which the Bible says was like their baptism. Baptism is an immersion, symbolic of us putting off our old ways, being raised up to new life. They cross over into the wilderness. And while they're there, God proves His faithfulness and His trustworthiness. He's preparing to take them into the promised land. He gives them a glimpse of this beautiful land. But unfortunately, most of them will not believe. They're looking at what they can do in their own strength rather than what God can do. And they decide that they want to go back to Egypt, to the way things used to be. Whereas only two guys just simply have that childlike faith and belief. You know what? God's got this land for us. He's got something better for our life. And He can take us there. Even though it looks like there's giants in the land, He can take us there. Then they got to cross over the Jordan River, which took a step of faith. Because the Jordan River did not part until they stepped into it first. They had to take a step into something that looked like it was impossible first before it moved. They cross over onto the other side, and then they go through a circumcision, a rolling away of the past, a cutting away of the old. And God tells them, it's going to take you more than a year to possess the promised land. Otherwise, the beasts would become too many. We see in the book of Esther, before she can become queen, she has to go through 1 year of beauty treatments. God has a beautifying process where we learn to rest and trust in Him. We allow Him to do the work because we can't step into these promises through our own self-effort and striving. We got to learn to rest and allow Him to do the work. We inherit these promises through faith and patience. Let's talk about our four fundamentals. Our first one, we're going to get positioned in the light today. Every day, we've got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. And this is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. How are we going to do it? We're going to start with humility. Jesus says, you want to become great in the kingdom of heaven, you've got to humble yourself like this little child. Just simple childlike faith and belief and humility. Humbling ourselves in relationship to God. Humbling ourselves in relationship to other people. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. We often forget to forgive ourselves. We're going to walk in grace and forgiveness with other people. We're going to take our position in love today. We're going to walk in love, kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. We're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. One of the greatest expressions of faith. And it's one of the easiest ways to maintain our positioning all day long. And being in position is a big deal. Because it puts us into position to receive everything that God has for us. Imagine a quarterback and a receiver. The quarterback throws a pass, but the receiver runs in the wrong direction. He's out of position to receive. And what is it that we're receiving? When we step into the light, we're stepping into Christ, and God has taken everything that He has, and He put it all in Christ. We get this amazing opportunity. We get to be in Him today. And what's in there? His Spirit and power and presence, His love and peace and joy, His mind and wisdom. There's health and energy today to flow through us. He's got more than enough time. He supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory. We become part of His family. We have fellowship with God, fellowship with people. and so much more. It's all in the light, available to be received. We have to learn how to get in position to receive it. And then we got to learn how to get it flowing through us out into the world, where we see the fruit or the result of it in our life. So our first step is to get in position. Our second step is to magnify the light. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. We're going to turn up the brightness of this light within us. And it's going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to get this new covenant rooted and established in our heart. When we have hearts that understand God's grace, we become more fixed and consistent and immovable when the issues and pressures of life come our way. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. Where is our focus and attention throughout the day? I like to think of it as meditation. And when I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. What are those things that we're just rolling over and over and over in our minds? And you probably had some example. We had some issue or problem. The more you thought about it, the more you talked about it, it just seemed like the problem grew bigger and bigger on the inside of you. Well, that same principle works in the opposite direction. If we'll learn to magnify God as bigger than those problems, how are we going to do it? We're going to magnify God's word, his unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. We're going to magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. Magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well. Looking back at all that God has already done in our lives, because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. Simply choosing not to magnify them. Instead, we're going to learn how to let those problems go. We're going to cast our cares over onto God. And we're going to magnify him as bigger instead. We're going to rest and we're going to trust in him. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, bitterness, unforgiveness, venting, complaining, pouting, toiling away in our mind, trying to figure everything out rather than resting and trusting in him. And that's where we got to learn to recognize the symptoms. Because when we're out of position or we're magnifying the wrong things, there's going to be the tendency to maybe retaliate at people. We might snap at them. We might withhold good things that we know to do. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment to try to isolate ourselves. On the inside, you feel this heaviness and weight and pressure, like it's all sitting on you. Might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness or powerlessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom of this. I think of it like a black hole. It just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry, the dread of the future, toiling away in our mind. We're envisioning all these worst-case scenarios. We get stuck in these vicious cycles that seem to just keep repeating over and over again. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless, because we've got his peace and his joy, his love, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy. Got more than enough time together with him. He begins to supply all of our needs. Begins to just effortlessly set us free. He begins to go to work. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. That if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around, get back in position again. Because every day life's throwing stuff at us to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. And it's learning to recognize those symptoms quickly and turn it back around. How do we do it? I think it starts with humility. Father, forgive me. I've missed it. I'm off track right now. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves and stop beating ourselves up over it. If we need to say we're sorry or reconcile with somebody else, we take those steps. And then we start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today in a beautiful, graceful way. Help me to tap into it, see it flowing in my life at a greater level today. You pray that simple prayer, you feel the weight lift off of you. The peace and joy and love just begin to wash over you on the inside. And then our third fundamental. We got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us and navigate us throughout the day. But we got to stay tuned into Him. My favorite way to do this is with the journal before bed. And lately, we've talked about installing what we call some filters at the top of the journal. These filters are just short phrases, maybe a sentence, maybe one word, that we just keep rewriting at the top of our journal every night as a way to reinforce God's standards for our life. We're going to immerse ourselves in God's ways of doing things, implementing these filters is a way that can help us do that. So it might look something like this. You might write at the top of your journal every night, God is working continually for my good. And I'm going to do continually good for others. And that short phrase just helps to navigate you throughout the day. When issues and pressures of life come your way, when people do things to push your buttons or get under your skin or wrong you in some way, just helps you to navigate successfully through the day. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position. And then to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen, and whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down. It's important to get out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned in as we go throughout the day. He's trying to navigate us throughout the day. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection with him, just take 1 to 2 minutes. Just slow down, take a couple of deep breaths. Get aware of his presence with you. Think of it like plugging in a phone. We're going to get charged up or powered up in him. And then our fourth fundamental, doing what we know to do today. The final thing I like to do in my journal every night is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because I learned sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure things out, trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule. And I'm getting out ahead of him, and the grace is not there. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And I'm getting behind him. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Not things I'm unsure of or uncertain on. What do I know to do today? And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day. And we remember this very important principle that the first thing out of our mouth every day sets the tone for the whole day. And as I began to learn about this, I began to seek God. What's the best thing for us to say first thing in the morning? And I felt like he was taking me back to Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of the Bible. The very first words that we see God speak, let there be light. And so I've begun to start my days this way. First thing in the morning, right when I wake up, the first words out of my mouth, let there be light. And it's amazing how just such a simple little thing brings a different energy into the day. Then we're going to get connected to him and start walking out that plan together with him in partnership with him. Trusting that he's right there with us every step of the way, confident in him. And when we get to that place of confident faith, his grace begins to surge through us. He begins to go to work. He begins to beautify our life, bring these beautiful and perfect gifts from above into our life. Things that we could never make happen on our own. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So let's talk about immersion. In the Bible, we got the example of baptism as a form of immersion. Immersing ourselves into Christ, putting off our old ways, being raised up to this new life. I think we have to immerse ourselves into God's ways of doing things. And I think in anything we want to grow in, we go through this process of just getting started to eventually there's a point where you got to totally immerse yourself to really grow to the next level. Think about abiding in him. To abide in him is to immerse ourselves in him. And I just feel like God keeps bringing this topic back to mind. I'm not quite sure where he's wanting us to go with it just yet. But we're going to take communion over this, just asking for his help. Heavenly Father, I just feel like you're teaching us about immersion lately. We're asking not for wisdom and insight and understanding into what this immersion means for us, and help us to walk in this the way you intended us to. We're asking for your help with that. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Just take a moment to remember. God didn't have to send Jesus. He could have left us on our own, separated from him forever, but he chose to send his one and only son. Jesus is willing to come and humble himself even unto death on a cross. He's rejected and betrayed. He's got all the pressure on him in the garden, spit on and hit, mocked and ridiculed, whipped, nailed to a cross. Worst of all, I believe he's separated from God, and the cup of God's wrath is poured onto his body. Isaiah 53, it says, it pleased God to crush him. His body was destroyed by God. But on the other side, he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He connects us back to God, makes us right and holy and perfect in his sight through his one sacrifice. So, Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." The Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. He's released us from darkness. He's transferred us into the light. We can have this covenant relationship with God. Covenants had to be ratified in blood in the Bible. We've got this blood-sworn oath that God is going to be working continually for our good. He will never waver from that. He will never change from that. So, Father, we just thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right, let's talk about some workout stuff. So on our daily communion workout, we start with just one set of everything. And we talk about exercising in such a way where we get that grace flowing through us. We do it connected to God, focused on making every rep beautiful, taking the effort and the force out of it, allowing God to do the work through us. Well, I believe something God's been showing me lately is I don't know quite what this looks like just yet, because God's been retraining me on a lot of things for health and fitness. Of immersing ourselves in the workouts more. Don't know quite what that looks like just yet, but I think we're going to have an answer to that soon. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the Abundant Life Training Center.com.